And welcome to your second of the week, HalfGuarded.com Power. I'm your host, Mitch Pump, my co-host, Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
Fantastic, much better. Illness is beaten. I've beaten my malady.
There you go. I'm just going to warn you in advance, we kind of blew our load, and I don't think we gave enough time for sports stories to really drop, especially on the All-Star break week. but we can kick off. I don't think there's much to say on this one, Dan, for just two guys. So I don't think you're going to hear, like, a lot of anger from us, because it's just not our place, I don't think. But I would like to talk about the Mavericks story for a little bit. Did you get a chance to read the SI article, or?
I did get a chance to look through it. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, wow, this is, I know some of these things sometimes have, like, a gray area, and there's people who go, oh, this, somebody just, you know, this,
yeah,
that, or
like,
the other.
I just don't, but I don't understand
look,
how
when
I,
you walk up to somebody, when you walk up to, like, a person who works for you and tell them, you're going to get gangbanged this weekend.
At
look,
work.
You can be, like, autistic and know that doesn't.
Yeah. Well, like,
that's
and
not.
It wasn't even, like, not that it's acceptable, but it wasn't, like, at an after-hours work event or something. Like, it was at work. Like, this was double bad. Even if you're, like, Mr. Anti-SJW or whatever, like, I don't know how you defend this, because I just think, it ain't good manners, but B, it's like, you don't do that kind of shit at work. Like, I hate to sound like a conservative here, but, like, have some fucking values, you know? Like, what happened to moral values?
Hey, there was all these people for a long time, and I don't want to get up on a soapbox here, but there's a thing that people said for a long time that, oh man, everything's gonna be better when we just become a post-religious society. When we just become a place where people are no longer, like, tied to their dumb Bibles and their dumb churches. And it's like, okay, yeah, great, here we are. A bunch of nerds sitting around, like, telling female coworkers that they want to see them get gangbanged.
I think you hit on the bigger issue. The bigger issue to me is, like, nerds, we gotta stop hiring nerds so powerful. Nerds just need to go back. What were nerds doing before? Like, computers?
Should not be put in management. That's just the bottom line. Let them run things.
Yeah, like, jocks should run everything. Because you saw that article, the safe space for the women was the fucking locker room with all the athletes who are half-naked. Like, the place you think would be the worst was, like, the safest spot, because the jocks, like, know how to fucking talk to a woman. Didn't develop, like, these weird hatreds weird conniptions or whatever, like, about women in high school, cause, like, they never talked to.
It's like these dudes will, like, grow up, you know, they'll be, like, all these nerds, and then they'll get, like, money, and maybe they'll lose, like, 50 pounds, and, you know, start going to the gym, and then suddenly they start acting like a movie, like, what a movie version of, like, it's basically like Rumspringa, where they suddenly start acting like,
it's like they watch that scene from Revenge of the Nerds where the nerd raped a girl, and they're like, hell yeah, this is right.
That's what I want.
Yeah. And it's like, no, man, like, just, it's not that hard to start a relationship. Look at all the idiots in relationships. You could probably figure it out. It's just like, don't be so damn selfish and, like, learn how to, like, know when things are appropriate or not, I guess, would be the wisdom.
Also, like, the one woman you come into contact with at work because you're trapped in a building with her all the time is not the one.
No, I mean, you could meet, like, people outside, like, of, you know what, with the internet today, with video games, with Twitch, whatever, you can find women who have your interests. You do not have to worry about the one girl you see every day. There's Tinder now, there's online dating, if you're conservative, there's a goddamn site for Trump people to meet each other. There's no excuse.
What's the curvy dating site? What was that one on ESPN?
What was that?
There was a dating site that advertised on ESPN this weekend that was like curvesonly.com.
Hell yeah, for fat people.
And it was like, this is... Look,
essentially that's just a place for, like, black men to meet fat white.
I kind of got that vibe, but
was it like a skinny black guy and, like, a 300-pound, like, white woman with a MAGA hat?
Well, no, it was just a woman, and she was chesty, put it that way.
Bobacious.
Top heavy.
Did she have chocolate titties?
No, she was
vanilla. Real Asian?
Caucasian.
Oh, I thought you said. You don't see a lot of, like, hot, chubby Asians. So.
What was this website? CurvesConnect.com.
You know,
as seen on TV.
Let's reach out. Let's not bash Curves Connect too much. Let's reach out. Maybe get a sponsor. That'd be a good opportunity.
Let me see the frequently asked questions. We could take a look at these.
Yeah.
Let's do some exploring.
That's where the show's at today. So.
Okay, so that's account management. Boring, boring, boring. Okay, this is a site for old people. Because basically the frequently asked questions is all like, how do I sign up? How can I search? How can I block or unblock?
I don't know. That it's not like fat people are like super smart. Most of them. I mean,
you know,
go both ways.
CurvesConnect.com. That's a free plug. Start advertising with a
sponsor. Well, I'll hop on Curves Connect and see what I can take back, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm a big, as we all know, I'm a big member of FarmersOnly.com. Yes.
I'm all.
You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com.
I'm on JDate, Black People Meet, and the Trump dating website.
Well, I'm big on JDate, too.
Yeah. But I want to swing back to talk about the Mavs. Do you see, like, this story's going to drop at other places. This clearly has been an issue, like something that's been, you know, whispered about by women in lots of circles. I don't want to speculate on which teams, but you think, like, other leagues. Like, you see something in the NFL, MLB, college, you know, we've seen a lot of bad shit at colleges. And, you know,
Rich Rodriguez has already been fired. Bob Davey looks to be in trouble. Like, he's been suspended for a month. That's not a great sign for his future employment. Yeah, I mean, you would think that, like, stuff would blow up faster at colleges because it would seem like colleges are such, like, huge organizations that if certain information gets to, like, the wrong part of the university, it's like, well, that's it for you.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, unlike the sports teams, there's a lot more politics.
Right. But, you know, with a sports team, I would think it's easier to keep that stuff under a lid. But
yeah, because you don't have
shut
yourself off.
I think the most jarring thing about the Mavericks thing, and the reason why I don't really believe Mark Cuban is twofold. One, as the article touches on, he is famously the biggest micromanaging owner in professional sports.
I think this is the beauty. It's what Cuban likes to put out there. I'm not sure he really is this micromanager. They claim. I think, like, yeah, he yells at refs, whatever, he likes being the press, but is he really doing any work? I don't think so. I think it was just, he's hands-on when it's good, and he's hands-off when it's awful.
No, I mean, if that's the case, you know, that's the case, but it's hard for me to believe that I can't believe that he is Mark Cuban's super hands-on owner, and then think that that this could happen under his nose without him having any way of knowing about it.
Yeah.
That does not, those two things do not follow. But
yeah.
Two, the second part of it is this guy's an early investor in Uber, which had all of the same internal dynamics going on at that company. And it's like, okay, this is a guy who's an investor in one company, a major investor, the kind of major investor where he's got an open door policy to come in there any day, anytime he wants to and can step in and look through things and is going to have, you know, is going to hear about things going on in that company. And didn't have a problem with the way Uber was being run until it became a national story.
Yeah,
and then,
like, isn't like this is like some good old boy who went to like Alabama or UT, Austin or something. Like, this is a Harvard educated, you know, very primped up man. Like, so if it's, I don't know, it's just not like the stereotype you may think. I think a lot of people would have. It's not some good old boy. I mean, it's a black guy who went to Harvard. Like, it's the opposite of what the media tells us, kind of.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, the one thing you can't get out of your head is that he didn't care because they were making money. And as long as the thing was making money, he didn't care what they had to do.
Yeah.
And it's just putting his personal checks and his personal, you know, the money he gets from it ahead of any kind of, like, bare minimum levels of decency.
Yeah, which is wild. And it shows, like, why Cuban, A, is, like, a horrible presidential candidate, and B, just, like, not that smart of a businessman. Sorry. You think you would know it's going to cost you a lot more later in lawsuits when the NBA probably makes you sell your damn team. Because that's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be.
If this thing balloons, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's another team, like, we could see a lot of owners ousted or something if we see similar code. Because the NBA is not going to put up with it.
And it's not like he's gone out of his way to make lots of friends in the NBA league office over his time as an owner.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be like, I don't think Cuban would be forced, but I think like the next, maybe the second or third or fourth team when these stories like really start breaking, I think we're going to see some shakeups with ownership. That'd be my big guess is what kind of comes. My assumption, if you will, Dan.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts though, before we kind of maybe move off? Fun discussion here on women being treated like shit in the workplace. And, like, I want to remind, like, if you ever read the article, too, like, it wasn't just, like, some comments. Like, this dude was, like, putting his hands on women's thighs and shit. Like, it wasn't just, he made some, you could say, he made some tasteless jokes. No, he was fucking touching women. Like, fair.
It's Aspie behavior. Like, there's no other way to put it. It's, like, nerdy Aspie who, like, suddenly thinks because now he's got money, he can do whatever he wants to people. You know? Which, yeah, I mean, who do we know like that?
And, like, I don't know why we're shocked when, like, you have, I mean, even back when we were kids, then we had a fucking president who, like, had multiple rape accusations and, like, was fucking interns in the goddamn Oval Office, you know? And then you elect a guy like Trump who comes grabbing by the pussy and all that shit. Like, of course people growing up think this now. Like, we allowed it from the most important job in the fucking country, and it's not like it just started with Trump's ever, you know? Been happening for a long time, and it's like been in the media for 20 to 30 years now. You know, like, we've told people, regardless of political affiliation, it doesn't matter how you treat women in the work. If you're
if you're the boss and you bring home the bacon, then you can do whatever you want because those are the spoils of victory, basically.
Yeah, and I think that's like the big issue. You know, it's like we gotta fix our culture, man. I think that's the bigger issue here. Like, men just gotta learn, like, stop trying to fuck people at work.
I mean, that's basically, like, the short version of it. It's like, don't shit where you eat.
Yeah, like, this is pretty basic. This was, like, common advice for men, like, kind of back in the day. It's like, just don't, why? You know, like, don't fuck someone at work, and don't fuck a girl in a bar you're raped. Like, just don't do these things, and you're fine. And, like, we can't even get back to, like, now even mentioning that, you're, like, an SJW or something. It's like, not really, just... You can still fuck.
But the people who call you that are, like, people who don't do anything either. It's like, they're all, like, weird incels who are like, well, this is maybe my only chance.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's don't A, take this from me. B, just jerk off. Like, come on. Like, just go to the bathroom. If you're fucking horny at work, here's our advice from the power out.
Fleshlight.
No, if you're horny at work, just go to the fucking stall, lock it, and jerk off. Done. Look, you have a phone, you have connected to Wi-Fi, you can look at fucking pictures on there. Get it done, get back to work, and stop thinking about that shit. It's not that hard.
That is an official power hour position.
Yeah. Jerk off more at work, and we'll see less than that.
You know what? There's nothing that makes you feel better than doing that on the company's dime. Because then it's like they're paying you to do it.
Yeah, and then you're not going to lose your job over it if you don't get caught. You know, you're in the bathroom. Well, they don't have cameras in there. Do it.
Yeah, if they got cameras in there, they got bigger problems.
That's a lawsuit. And you know what? There's call no Mike rules up, that you can't. And there's no
call conflict and file a lawsuit.
Yeah, because you know what? There's no rules probably where you work that say you can't jerk off in the bathroom.
The one in my workbook, what I signed when I got my job.
See? I bet it's not yours.
Rules I signed up for.
Yeah. So go through that workbook. Says nothing about it. What are they going to do? Nothing. So that's the official power hour advice of the week.
Just don't leave any evidence, like, on the floor or something.
Oh, you clean up. That's just, your mom should have talked shit. let's move on, though, Dan. I guess, you want to talk about the ice dancers?
Yeah, are they fucking or are they not?
I think they're not.
Let's do it.
I'm officially on my team, they're Bosell.
Because
they're too weird. Like, it's just, people are weird, they're usually not. Like, normal people would be fucking. But not Canadian ice dancers from a town of, like, what, like 100 people? Nah. Some weird, you know?
I think they have, but they have voluntarily abstained for a while so they can channel those energies into their performance.
Yeah.
They're both
married, right?
Yeah. This forbidden lust.
But, like, the dancing really isn't dancing in a way just fucking.
Well, look, the little bit I know about dancing is that everybody's constantly fucking it. And if you're, like, the one straight dancer, oh my god. Oh my god.
Kid in a candy store.
You just gotta have an IV hooked up to you just to keep the fluids in your body, keep from becoming dehydrated.
But yeah, I don't buy it, but I don't buy, like, the whole argument. I don't think they've ever fucked. I think they're just weird people. Like, they're ice dancers. They're weird. They're not. When people think about this, they think through their like normie lens. And it's like, these aren't normal people. These are weird people. And weird people.
What's
do
so weird about
shit.
Ice dancing? What's so weird about ice dancing?
I mean, you just said it. Ice dancing. It's weird.
You're dancing from Canada? On ice.
Okay, here's the three strikes.
Again. I mean, everything's in Canada's on ice. Like,
okay,
if you don't learn how to dance and fuck on ice, you'll never dance or fuck. Because
okay.
Everything's ice.
They're into ice dancing. They're from Canada. They're from a town of, like, 1,000 people.
Well, that's every town in Canada. Like, if you're not from Toronto, you're from a town of 1,000 people.
I don't buy it. Speaking of Canada, Dan, let's switch to this story really quick. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Have you heard about this?
Folks, what was it? There's a weird humming noise in a small town outside of Ontario, Canada, near Detroit. It's been going on since 2010, and it's driving people crazy, and no one can find the source of it.
This is literally the plot to the seminal PlayStation 2 game, Condemned, and Condemned 2.
But I think I found the source. It didn't start until they opened up a salt mine on Indian burial grounds, about 2010. A lot of people think, oh, it's spiritual. No, it's just the salt mining is probably making a weird humming noise. It's probably it. There. I didn't mean to Columbo everybody, but...
that's not a Columbo, because you didn't say it one more thing before
one
that.
More thing.
One more thing.
I haven't watched enough
Columbo. I've literally never seen a single episode of Columbo. I just know that's what he does.
I don't think I have either. I've seen...
Columbo have been on?
Yeah.
Like, that seems like... I have a vague memory of that being on the Family Channel before Pat Robertson sold it.
Who were the best... and by the way, we're going to talk some more sports. We got Seth Simmons coming in a couple of minutes. We're going to go in the bullpen. I think we're trying to talk some baseball with him, Dan. That's correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Before we get into that, though, best TV detective to you. And don't say, like, Lenny Brown. I'm not counting anyone from Law & Order. You got to do it by yourself. I'm doing the teamwork bullshit.
I'm gonna say Quincy.
Ooh, okay. I like Quincy. I want to go Angela Lansbury. She was a detective.
Was she, or was she secretly a serial killer, always pinning her crimes on other people?
But, you know, she presented herself as a detective. I'm gonna roll with that. Who else? Matlock
was great, but he was a lawyer. So,
but he did a lot of detective.
In my money, Matlock is the greatest TV lawyer of all time.
Who would you put up there with Matlock? Like, who's the Mount Rushmore of TV?
Well, obviously, Perry Mason is the biggest head.
Perry Mason, Corbin Bernstein from L.A. Law. I've never seen an episode of L.A. Law.
I have no idea what that is. To me, it would be Perry
Jack
Mason.
Jack McCoy. And the guy before him, the bald guy.
Matlock. Yeah. It would be Jack McCoy, Matlock, Perry Mason.
And what was the bald of Ben... Something.
And then who's the one with their head turned sideways and nobody gets to see them? one of the SVU attorneys?
No, all the SVU attorneys. They're always like a blonde woman who doesn't know what she's... I'm sticking with OG Law & Order ADA, Ben something.
The original guy, the balding guy?
Yeah, balding guy was great.
I didn't like him.
Really? I liked Jack him and the black guy's dynamic.
Jack McCoy was so great.
No, McCoy is the greatest, but I'm putting this guy on the Rushmore. I mean, not everybody on Mount Rushmore was as good as the next.
I mean, all four of them were pretty stout.
Were they?
I mean,
who's on Mount Rushmore? Teddy Roosevelt, Jefferson, Washington,
and Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Who's four pretty
who's
good
president?
Ones?
I guess none of them were the president of the War of 1812. Were they?
No, that was Madison.
I don't know, Jefferson, like, raped slaves, so I'm counting that.
Well, I mean, if we're going to start pulling morality clauses out, then the whole thing's fucked.
That's true. Not on the TV lawyers.
To think of a fourth lawyer, and I can't. Was there a lawyer on Dragnet, or was it all cops?
I think it was all cops. Remember they tried to remake Dragnet with, like, Al Bundy?
Yeah, it was never going to work, because Dragnet only works if you're, like, if you're the squarest, like, 1950s.
Yeah.
You know, silent
Dragnet's
generation.
Dragnet's a thing that, like, only works in the 1950s.
In 60s.
Does it work any other
time? It works
time
better in
really
the 60s. Here. It works better. It works actually better in the 60s because shit starts to change.
TV, I don't know.
Like, things start to get, like, you start having, like, a counterculture, and then you start to have this rebellion of, like, the older.
Like Blue Boy?
Yeah.
Anyone ever watch any other episode of Dragnet besides Blue Boy?
The guy who paints himself blue and dies.
Yeah, it was
from
like
LSD
the first
overdose.
Episode. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great.
What did he die? Like, it was like a weed overdose.
No, he took too much LSD and his mind broke.
We need to go back and rewatch some Dragnet.
My favorite thing about Dragnet is how those guys clearly had no idea what any of this shit they were talking about was. Like, they had never heard of any of it.
What about Jeff Winger from Community, TV lawyer?
Yep, we'll put him on there. He's number four.
Oh, no, no. We go Better Call Saul. We can go, like, I don't watch that show, but didn't like him.
I have not watched, I've never watched the spinoff, and I love Breaking Bad.
Have you watched The Wire?
No, I'm not.
I was gonna say the Jew lawyer from The Wire. He's like our scummy Jew criminal defense attorney.
You know.
He's definitely
that's a definite archetype.
Yeah. Well, he clearly takes gang money, doesn't care, but he was one of my favorite characters. I'll put those, because the best. Let's wrap up the TV detectives, because I want to give a shout out really quick to my boy Adrian Mott. Easily one of the best, the greatest detectives of all, better than Sherlock. Yes, me.
What's the one from the Disney movie? Because he's the best.
Inspector Gadget?
No, the one that was like Disney did in Sherlock Holmes, but with like animals.
Oh, the fox.
The Great Mouse Detective.
Yes, the Great Mouse Detective.
AKA the greatest Disney movie.
I don't think I've watched the Great Mouse Detective since like George P. What, the first Bush was president, like when I was like three.
Great movie.
Oh.
Do yourself a favor in this show where we've recommended you masturbate at work. We now recommend you watch The Great Mouse Detective.
When's that Disney Netflix kind of ripoff thing taking off? Because like I'm paying for that 100% for at least like a year.
Mm. See, that feels like a thing you do for like when it opens up, you do it for like a
that's
month,
what I mean,
and
like
then
the
you realize
year, I'll do, well, like,
Disney stuff sucks.
Yeah.
Is it gonna have Zorro on it? Because if it ain't got Zorro, I'm not in.
Well, if it's got, like, all the Disney movies, then yeah, I'm on that. Like, that's going to take you a year to get through most of them.
I want the Zorro TV show from the 50s. If I can't get
Zorro,
it, I'm fucking off.
What about the Zorro movie with Antonio Banderas?
That's not Disney. If you're not, that's
well,
not
was
Disney.
It? Disney probably owns it now.
Well, they own the TV show. I mean, do they own New Line Cinema?
Don't they own everything?
Probably.
I mean, we're at the point where, like, Disney will just have everything on it. I think that's the plan. And
I mean, they probably own Coughlin at this rate. They own HalfGuarded.com. Is that your attempt at a Mickey?
Coughlin! Yes, that's my... I can't do a high voice because I'm not a woman, so it's hard to do a Mickey Mouse voice. I'm sorry. It's called having testosterone.
My God.
What else? Disney owns, too, like what? Like Pulp Fiction. So that shit could be... They own Miramax.
Well, yeah, they own Miramax.
Miramax, does that include, like, Clerks?
So they own, like, all those, like, 90s movies where everyone says fuck a lot.
Yeah, what about, like, Clerks the Animated Series? I'd like to see all five episodes.
I just think we should just have a streaming service that's just all of Kevin Smith's shitty movies played over and over again while a person with onion breath tries to tell you that they're brilliant.
Well, what, then, let's do that before we jump to Seth. This would be inappropriate. I don't know how it feels about Kevin Smith. What's the best, what's the good Kevin Smith movie? Because, you know, I'll be honest, I enjoyed most of it. I don't think they're genius, but I think they were fun, shitty comedies.
Dogma, maybe.
Like Chasing Amy, that was like the prestige one, because it's got lesbians in it or something.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Clark's One.
Not
Clark's
a big
One's
fan.
Still a pretty good student film, for what it is. It's probably one of the best student films if you really want to get into it. I also enjoy Clerks 2, and Dogma, and Mallrats.
So you basically just like all of them.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what I really like? I like the DVD
Tusk.
Commentary. With
you
the
love
Netflix
Tusk. You're just a real big fan of Tusk.
No, you know what I'm a fan of? I don't like anything Kevin Smith like post Jay and Silent Bob shit. That's all crap. But the DVD commentary for like Mallrats, Dogma, etc. are great, because it's just Ben Affleck and Kevin Smith sniffing at each other the whole time. And really, Ben Affleck on any DVD commentary is great. That's what I would recommend. Like him on what was it, Armageddon? The one with Bruce Willis, where he talks about how dumb it is to bring in a bunch of oil men, because like NASA scientists can't run a drill, and it's like they're fucking astronauts. Like they could probably figure it out in like 2 weeks.
It's probably a lot easier to teach astronauts how to run a drill than it is.
Yeah, to teach a bunch of, like, literally, like, people who live in trailers how to go into space. Like, no offense if you live in a trailer, but you're probably not an astronaut.
I could be, just give me a book. I'll read it.
Speaking of astronauts and trailers, Dan, let's, you want to jump in the bullpen?
I want to know. No, no, no. We're not jumping to the bullpen because I want to know what astronauts and trailers have to do with a bullpen. And you're going to answer me, or we're going to sit here till doomsday comes.
Here, you know what they have to do with Dan? Spring training. Where do the Braves do spring training? In Orlando, Florida. Where did NASA?
Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, near Florida, near Orlando. And trailers. Lots of people in Florida live in trailers. So I see how you don't see that, but that's fine.
Hi. That's good enough.
Yeah. Good enough. Y'all try to talk some baseball here. Maybe talk some fun stuff.
Yeah, Seth's definitely going to have some opinions about all the issues in sports that have happened since the last time he was on it.
Yeah.
Since he was on the show. He's going to be full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
But especially piss.
I don't know if I'll be there in the bullpen with you, but make sure to ask him why the Braves are going to win the World Series this year.
Got it.
All right. Well, let's jump to that really quick.
And thank you, Zach, for that introduction. And long awaited. It's been too long. It's been absolutely too long. But I'm looking at that. I use the old phone. I don't make the motion with. I'm grabbing the phone. I'm making that call. Audi and may I say, not running out of the bed. He's no John Rocker. He's riding in a novelty golf because here comes Seth Simmons. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, it might be coming back. The golf cart might be coming back to speed up the game.
That's the first thing I wanted to lead off with. The bullpen cart, pro or con? Are you for it or are you?
I don't care. I mean, is it really going to speed up the game that much? 15 seconds or whatever? I mean,
I don't know if it'll necessarily speed up the game, but I want fun.
Yeah, I mean, sure. It could be fun. I don't know. I mean, if that's what we're looking at is to speed up the game with the bullpen cart, sure, I'm all for it. Whatever.
I just think baseball in general more fun in it because there's way too many, like, the unwritten rules say if you try to pimp that home run, I'm gonna throw a baseball at your temple and try to kill you. I think it's more wacky. We need more guys throwing.
Well, then the golf cart needs to have like neon lights, a boombox on the back of it, playing something we don't understand, and a guy doing a dance on the top of it on the way in.
Have you ever seen the clips of like the Yankee thing they did in the 70s? Like instead of having a golf cart, they rode the dude in like a Lincoln Continental, like a gold, like a pinstripe Lincoln Continental. And there's like these pictures like Goose Gossage, like jumping out of the back seat of a Lincoln, like slamming the door, like here I come.
Yeah, I just think it's gonna turn into the same thing. It's gonna turn into the same thing. It's gonna become a process. It's like who can bring in the closer the best way. It's like, are we gonna bring him in the bullpen cart tonight? Are we gonna bring him in? You know, in a golf cart, we're going to bring him in a Lambo. We're going to bring him in a helicopter, like that, you know, that movie. What was it with Brendan Fraser and what's his name? I forget what it was, but anyway.
He played a Yankees guy who threw like a perfect game and struck everybody out in three pitches, right?
Yeah, like
something ridiculous.
Yeah, 27
like, that
outs.
That could never happen. Yeah,
whatever. And he hit, like, four home runs or whatever it was.
It was great. It was, like, a ridiculous.
I think there was a point in time he was throwing a perfect game, but checking the runner on. So, they did a good job of that movie. But, anyways, it's like...
It's like Little Big League was more realistic than Brendan Fraser throwing an immaculate game.
Yeah, so, you know, does it speed it up that much? I think it turns into a show. There, like, you want to speed up the game, you got to look at it in different ways. I don't know if the pitch clock does it. I don't know. I just think baseball is one of those. Is it really a thing that has to be sped up? Like, it's you got to know baseball is a 3-hour game. Just one of those things. There's strategy.
Well,
it
didn't used to be. It used to be like a 2.5-hour game.
Yeah, but now you got better players. You got better assets. You got better things to go to.
That's
so
true.
I
do you not blame a little bit like all these suburban kids who like have to take their wristbands off and then put them back on because daddy never just slapped them upside the head and said knock it the fuck off?
No.
Like that's not slowing the game down at all?
No, I don't think
I'm going to take my pants off, rotate them around, put them back on and now okay, pitch two.
I think it sets on the pitcher. Like the pitcher is all about timing. It's setting up the timing with the hitter. So like whatever the hitter does, stepping out of the box and trying to slow the pitcher down, the pitcher's on the mound ready to roll. He's not affecting the hitter that much. He's just like, hey man, I'm waiting for you. Here we go. If the pitcher takes his time, that's him trying to like, you know, get his feet set, get back going. That's just the way that I look at it. I don't know. I just I don't think all these things really change it that much because baseball is one of those slow moving type games until it's not slow moving. Like, it's never going to be the back and forth that the NBA is or the big play atmosphere that the NFL is because, you know, on the offensive side, you could have the deep ball or you could have the big run or on the defensive side, you could have the pick or the pick six or the fumble recovery or the big hit. Like, baseball is one pitch, one throw, one hit at a time. It's not something that's like the one home run could change the game, but that might be the only thing you get in the game. It, like I said, it's a chess match. It's a slow-paced game. It's just not one of those things that you just sit there and go, all right, it's back and forth, or it's I'm waiting for the big play or whatever. It's just one of those things. I just think that speeding up the game, does it hurt? That's what I'm asking. If we do speed up the game, if it gets it to where it is 2.5 hours or 2 hours, does it hurt the integrity of the game? That's
well, here's where I come back to, and it's that, yeah, I think it'd be great if games were like 2.5 hours. Like, baseball was a lot more popular than 1.5 hours. Biggest culprit is you have like 7 hours of commercials jammed into each game. Maybe if you cut those up. No, we will not do that. Never. Why don't you just like sell more ad space like during the game? Like, it's you could put like giant ads and charge way more of them because we're not going to do commercial. And it's like, just do that. No, we're not doing it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not an owner. I don't know their ad sales and how they do that. I understand what you're saying. There is a lot of commercial time in a baseball game because there's so many breaks in between innings. But
like, aren't minor league games faster than major league games because they don't have a commercial? Because you're not on TV.
I mean, I don't know the numbers, so I can't say that for a fact. But I've been in some long minor league games.
Well, there will be more pitching, just like you would imagine. So maybe that would...
That's the thing that I don't want to see, is anything put a restriction on pitching changes, because then you're going to get guys hurt.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, you can't go get him right now because we're out of pitching changes. Oh, so you're telling me my best reliever is out there to wear it on a bad day and throw more pitches, tired, get worn out, and now his ligaments, you know, rotator cuff and everything's at work harder because he's thrown so many high-stress pitches. Plus, he's getting his, you know, ass handed to him. And now all of a sudden, he's pitching dead tired. He's thrown 35 pitches, and this guy usually for 20 every night. I mean, now we're talking about injuries. That's the one thing I don't want to see, is a restriction on the manager of what he can use and what he can't use.
Yeah, I think that's horseshit. I think that's when you start making... Like, there's things I could live with. Like, I'm not as horrified by, okay, we're only going to give you, like, what is it, 6 conference total in a game?
Yeah.
Where it used to be, like, 1 an inning, and you could do as many informal as you wanted to, where now it's just going to be 6, and all of them are the same. I mean, I could live with that. I mean, in general, I'm pro-play. I don't think, like, the owners' issues should be pushed down on, like, the players trying to play the game.
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones who should have to, like, make huge changes because owners can't figure out how to market the game of baseball to anybody under the age of 50.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've heard the whole extend the roster type thing too, so you don't use as many. So you got more pitchers at your disposal. You got more guys, so you know, like, hey, if I use this guy for a little bit of relief for longer innings or longer, you know, longevity down the road, like more innings, longer innings type thing. But then that affects people's paycheck because then the guy that comes in and shuts the door is not as relevant because you may not need to use him that night because he's not available. Because it's like, hey, I pitched him for like a guy like Andrew Miller. Like, guy comes in and the door slammer, you know, slams the door for 3 innings and it's like, oh, I'm not going to use him tomorrow. So he's off the roster. And that means like that's a day he's not available to me because I've extended the roster. Does that guy get paid less because he wasn't on the roster? I mean, that's the other thing. So I'm indifferent about that one. It's like, it can help because it might speed up the game. It's like, all right, I know I can't go to that guy. I wasn't going to go to him anyway. I can go to somebody else. And it may mean that we can use that guy for a lengthy period of time in a game that's got away from us. Or I can use an extra starter on a guy that needs, you know, some rest. But does that mean the guys that weren't available that night get less money? Is what I've heard. And it's just like, that's the thing that is the, like, the fine line.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just be in favor of just, like, instead of a 10 roster, you just go to 28, 27, and then we just have, like, extra pitchers, and we go to, like, a, you know, a 6-man rotation. I'd more jobs for the pitchers, more starting pitching jobs.
But then you got guys that'll use it as, oh, wait, I can use an extra guy off the bench. Then you'd have to put a restriction on how many, you know, hitters you can, how many times you can pinch hit. And I think it's just it's one of those, like, slippery slopes. Like, where does it stop?
The other thing is that, like, a lot of, like, when a game is longer, it usually means people are happier because they're scoring a lot more. So, are the long games really that big of a problem? Because, like, I know a bona fide way to make sure that you have short games, and that's to go back to the 60s when nobody could hit.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, like, how pitchers, exciting like, was this like last the World pitcher, Series? It went to seven games. There was a ton of runs. You still had some pitching. You had great pitching performances. Like, I mean, how bad was it? Like, was it literally not watched? Did nobody watch it that far
down? It
didn't
do that well.
I mean, it might have done.
I mean, it seems
great, but it's just like, it was still kind of exciting. It went to seven games. Like, you had some good pitching performances. You had guys come out of the pen and do well. You had great hitting. I mean, it's baseball. It's not the NBA. It's not the NFL. NBA, they're not watched all season. Everybody watches the playoffs. If you're trying to compare yourself to the NFL, you're going to fall up short. Sorry.
And I think there's a lot of, like, searching around for how can we change. See, this is where I think baseball should just knock it down. Because we talked about this. We talked about this on the last episode. The Daytona 500. The Daytona 500 used to be such a huge deal, and NASCAR used to be such a huge deal. Why is one of the reasons nobody gives a shit about NASCAR anymore? Because they've changed the way they decide who their champion is, and they've made fundamental, major changes to what a race is. Like, how do you even win a race? It's now like it's all this cockamamie horseshit.
Yeah, you don't even have to. You don't have to lead. Like, there's no point in not lead. I'm talking about winning. Like, if you lead the last lap and win it, the guy that led 500 laps, does he get the most? Does he get the most points? Does he end up the best? I mean, what does it really mean? Like, the guy that ran his car the best the whole way through and then ended up winning, does he get the most points? Like, they've just changed it, like, completely. It's like all based on a point system, whereas it used to be, hey, if you won, you won.
Well, it used to be like, if you led a lot of laps, even if you did, like, even if you say, like, finished third, like, as long as you didn't finish, like, 20th, you more or less got the most points.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you led the most laps.
You should get the most points.
If there's, like, 30 races and you finish in the top five in 29 of them, and some other guy wins 15, but he has a bunch of like, do not finishes and doesn't finish in the top 20.
He's Ricky
even
Bobby.
Maybe you only win one.
He's Ricky,
like,
Bobby.
Maybe you only won one, but you were in the top five every single week. You were better than him.
It's Ricky Bobby compared to Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Finished at the top. But
NASCAR, nobody gives a shit about it because they changed it constant. Where it's like, do you really want to be that base? Do you really want to be, like, constantly changing what it is to be, like, what the whole thing is? I mean, when you look at baseball, you know, the World Series, it did 28 million viewers in Game 7. That's really not great. It was down a lot from 4, which it would be. It was the Cubs versus the Cubs trying to win their first World Series.
Yeah, and
it
was the Astros versus the Dodgers. If it was the Yankees versus the Dodgers, they probably would have had the same viewership.
And it was, it was way up from the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. But it's just like, my thing is if you're going to look at changes, maybe look at, I don't know, maybe look at replay. Maybe have, like, a replay booth at every stadium instead of having to go to wherever they go to, New York or wherever it is. I don't even.
The shit takes too long.
It takes a while. So maybe have a replay booth at every stadium so it's quicker.
Or we just don't do replay during the regular season. How about that? Let's speed this shit up. Let's get,
like,
this shit over with.
For extra innings, you do international play and the stats don't go against the player. You can keep the stats, but they don't go against them in, like, arbitration hearings and stuff like that. You can keep them to say, hey, man, this guy's good. Or you can keep it for arbitration. It just doesn't go against their, you know, their total ERA or their total batting average. You can go, like, do, you know, start off in 10th inning, first and second. Make the games quicker, make them less on the players. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's almost too much, too quickly, too soon type thing.
And I think it all just gets back to what's the big cause of, as the great man once said, what's causing all, what's causing all these problems with baseball's viewership? And it's that you basically spent 10 years letting a bunch of old, baby boomer, like, sports writers tear down an entire generation of, like, fans' favorite players to the point where, like, you basically lost our generation, who are just not watching baseball. Because if you're our age, who are the guys you grew up watching? Barry Bonds,
Mark McGuire,
Pedro Martinez, Mark McGuire, Pedro, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens,
Manny.
And they basically said, ooh, those guys are pieces of shit. And they don't even deserve to be honored by baseball. And it's like, okay, well, I guess the shit I grew up watching wasn't any good. I'm just going to watch something else.
I mean, look at the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. I mean, I'm in baseball, so other than the team that I play for. You know what I mean? Like, I watch the Padres. I watch them play, and I hope the guys that I know do well. I mean, I hope the whole team does well, for that matter. Like, but, like, I've grown to know some of the guys here. So I hope they all do well, and I hope the guys that I know what like better than most, I hope they do really well. Like, I root for those guys, but I mean, as a baseball player, do I watch the Red Sox Yankees series anymore? No, I watch players. Like, what do I watch in? Hey, I'm from North Carolina. I watch the Panthers play, but at the same time, I watch Brady play. I watch Rodgers play. I'm even grown to watch like guys like Derek Carr play. I've watched, you know, Kirk Cousins because I like his story. In the NBA, I'm a Charlotte Hornets fan. Well, that's not fun, but I still watch them. I still watch them, but I watch guys like LeBron. I watch guys like Steph. I watch guys like Chris Paul because it's where I grew up and he grew up there too. I watch guys like Harden, Westbrook. I watch player. I would say focus more on the player. That's what the NBA and the NFL have done well, is not exploiting them, but maybe to a T. They have is
well the NBA definitely. I'm not sure the NFL job, but the NBA absolutely has done a tremendous job of like making stars.
The star, exactly. Clayton Kershaw is a star. Promote the star. George Springer is a star. Promote the star.
Well, they don't want, if they did that, then they'd have to pay those.
I mean, talk about a young athlete that's not named Bryce Harper or Mike Trout. We're talking about George Springer. We're talking about Carlos Correa. We're talking about Francisco Lindor. We're talking about those kind of guys. I mean, when
of those guys had Latino names. That you can't promote that.
I don't care what their name is. They're stars.
I know. I'm just telling you, like dumbass. I was like, yeah. We gotta find a guy who likes stuff.
The guy that should be on TV. The guy that should have been on TV the most, you know, is guys like Pedro. Guys like you got guys like that. I mean, Marcus Stroman. He's a talent and a like a piece. Like, he's a guy that likes to be on Twitter and likes to be on Instagram and likes to take on that celebrity status. Those are the guys that you 100% stand behind and promote. Like, you know, it's tough to sit here and say that our problem is the game's slow. No, we have stars in this game. We should promote them. We should put them out there for the world to see. And then,
Mike Trout could walk down the street right now and nobody the fuck he is. And he's one of the greatest baseball
players. I don't know.
Mike Trout can
walk down the middle. He's a specimen. I think you might point him out.
I mean, people would just go, oh, look at that big fucking dude. That's a fucking hoss. But they wouldn't know who the hell he is.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's tough for me to say that.
Compared to, like, what if LeBron James.
If you're comparing him to LeBron James.
Walk down the middle.
You're comparing him to the greatest basketball player that's ever stepped on the planet.
Like LeBron James 2000.
Still comparing him to
He might, but like Mike Trout might be on that path.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about. It's a different way of promoting players.
Right. Well,
that's
the problem.
That's what we're saying. I think we're saying the same thing, just going about it a different way. It's
like, imagine if Aaron Rodgers walked down like the center of like.
No, I'd go, that's Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, now Bryce Harper. Do you think as many people are going to know who the fuck Bryce Harper is?
And
Aaron Rodgers is like the most famous dude in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I can see what you're saying. It's just, it's about promoting the star. Like, yeah, maybe their Twitter feed great job, but they don't. I mean,
Twitter's bullshit. All that shit.
I mean, I get it, but I'm saying, like, that's where I'm saying the money and energy is spent in the wrong places. Like, LeBron James can shine his shoe the wrong way, and it makes news.
Yep. Because he's famous. Because he's somebody. And baseball players used to have famous people. Like,
But LeBron James is global.
Right.
You'll
never have
that. But it should be, because, like, we got a guy coming over here that, you know, you never know. They call him the Babe Ruth, the new Babe Ruth of baseball, with Shohei Ohtani. I watched him pitch live. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my entire life. guy was throwing 100 miles an hour for an entire game. And he also
it's just,
great.
It's, well, it's just.
That guy should be a global icon. We don't have any icons. There we go. We don't have any icons in baseball. There's no icon.
I think some of that is just, like, nobody else plays baseball except, like, Latin America. So it's, like, it's just not going to be as big a deal. Whereas, like, basketball, they play that in Europe. I mean, that's, like, the second most popular sport in Europe now.
Yeah.
Well, third. It's, like, soccer, rugby, and basketball. So, like, people know who the basketball player. But it's also popular in Asia. I mean, arguably, basketball is more popular than soccer. So,
it's
like,
not more popular
China,
in baseball, though.
It's more basketball is more popular in China.
Oh, well, China. I thought you meant...
Yeah, Japan. But, I mean, yeah, obviously, baseball. But baseball's not as popular in Japan as it used to
be. I mean, you got a lot of American guys going over there.
I mean, they've always had that to some
but
extent.
But they got more.
You know, the documentary.
You're having more.
Tom Selleck taught us all about that.
But you still got more guys. I mean, you got guys coming out of Japan now making multi-year deals in Major League Baseball. I think it's
sure, but I think that's part of why it's not as big in, because the guys used to stay there. Like a guy like Dice would have never left to go pitch for Boston in who's the guy who's like the Japanese pitcher, the Rangers guy. Well, he's not with the Rangers anymore.
Yu Darvish.
Yeah, Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish would have never left Japan.
Yeah, he would.
No, he wouldn't have.
Yeah, he would have. He was the best pitcher
that's ever come out of
Japan.
That didn't start happening until the 90s. They just didn't leave. Like Sitahara Oh hit like 900 home runs and never played in America.
You're talking about a talent that Japan would never have. Like,
Sitahara Oh hit 800 home runs and he didn't come here.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but Darvish is a talent that is different. It's just, it's one of those things you see. It's just, Darvish is one of those different talents.
There wasn't even a system set up to let it happen.
I mean, I get that. But you're talking about the system now, not talking about the want and the desire
to come
over here.
Part of the reason why the system wasn't there is because guys didn't, like, Hideo Nomo was the guy who broke, like, he broke the system.
Yeah.
Like, Hideo Nomo was the guy who opened it all up. Before him, you know, it just didn't happen, and baseball was more popular in Japan.
I think
not
we're getting
the caliber of the players.
I think what we're getting to is we're agreeing that baseball has more problems speed of the game.
And on that note, I have to ask a question that was given to me by Jack. Are the Braves going to win?
No.
And if so, how much?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive. No, not that I'm not a Braves like that. It's just there.
You're not.
Team.
You're Padres. Padres,
I'm a huge Padres. Biggest
you got Padres
fan you've ever met.
Your heart.
Yep. There's a lot of stuff in them. Like, I mean, they're in the NL East. They got to go through the Nationals. The Nationals have a great roster, for one. And two, they have trouble coming out of the NL because of the Dodgers, Cubs. Brewers got so much better.
Marlins like voluntarily set themselves on fire, so that, I mean, they should be better than the Marlins.
But I mean, the Marlins rebuilding. They're like, they said, hey, what we did before didn't work. The death of their best pitcher is absolutely unspeakable and devastating. But it kind of started the trend of, hey, you know, we had our ace. You know, Fernandez was our ace, and that was our guy, and that guy was going to win Cy Young's. That's another guy. That's a guy that should have been absolutely on the forefront of everything, because that guy was incredible. And, you know, when that happened, I just thought they were kind of on a spiral down. We'll see what happens with the players they got back and whatnot. But, you know, the Marlins are not, you call it tanking or you call it whatever. I think they're like, hey, do we hang on to all this money? Or do we get stuff back for it and try a rebuild and try to do what won them championships, you know, years prior? I mean, they got two champions. They got two more championships than the Dodgers have in the past 20 years. So, like, are they wrong for rebuilding and going through the draft?
Yes.
They're wrong.
Yes. They bought a team with money that their owners didn't have, and then they had to gut the board to pay the bill.
I mean,
they should not have been allowed to buy the team.
Okay,
they
well,
didn't have the money.
If we're talking about a baseball standpoint, just the baseball standpoint, I'm not talking about the money or whatever they had to buy the
like
team.
Like, they were like one pitcher from being able to win.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. There were multiple pitchers. They were. After what happened, you know, 2 years ago, they're multiple pitchers away. They have a lot of young pitchers that are good and that they kept. They kept.
Then why'd you get
rid
of all the hitters?
Because it was,
other than we don't have the money.
I just don't think that All right, so it's like one of those things. It's like, do we compete, make the playoffs, and anything can happen type thing? Or and for them, it'd be like sneaking in the playoffs. Or do we start a rebuild because we can get a ton of talent back, keep our pitching, and build around our pitching? And maybe we don't have the home runs that was here for the first couple of years. You don't know what you're going to get out of some of those players that come back. You don't ever know.
Sure.
But it's like, it's one of those things. I just don't think a rebuild is that astronomically ridiculous that everybody's like, oh, they were so stupid to do that. And they didn't have the money and throw it on that. I think it was a rebuild that they had two options. Stick with what they had and make some moves and pay more. And like you're saying, if they didn't have the money, they couldn't do it. Two, let's dump salary. Let's rebuild, start from the ground up, and do what got us some champions prior.
Yeah, with a guy who's never done anything before in charge of the...
Hey, let's see what happens. Give him a few years. Let's see what happens.
Well, that's what they live off of, is that, hey, give them a little bit of time, and in those couple of years, they'll make some... And then, you know, if it doesn't work out, they'll sell the team, and they'll have made a profit.
I mean,
and meanwhile, like, baseball's been a city for, on edge.
I mean, when they've won two championships in the past, how many ever years? More than the Yankees have won. Like, come on. Like, they didn't have fan base after that? Are they going to have fan base?
Well, it's because their team, like, their shitty owner, like, immediately dismantled those
He brought players in one year, and it didn't work out, and it didn't matter. I mean, he
was a piece of... I mean, that their former owner is literally pond scum, and I hope the city of Miami sues him into bankruptcy. I hope he has to live in a pauper's prison.
But, I mean, he brought players in before. Like, he went out in an offseason and got players.
And then gutted all of them, like,
because
the
it didn't,
city agreed it, to make his stadium.
Yeah, it didn't work. They made his stadium, whatever. They were not good.
I mean, he was a fraud. It was basically like, see, I'm going to bring in the big players. It's a good thing you gave me this stadium. All right, the checks have cleared. Gut it.
But they were terrible, too. They were not good that year. Don't even start there. They were not good that year. When they brought in all those players, they were not good. They were last in the East.
I don't think he cared about being good. I think that's why
they
just picked a bunch of
big
names.
But they weren't good regardless.
I hope that guy dies of fucking tooth poison.
Say that because if he ever owns a team again, I'd like to play.
He will never be allowed to own a baseball team because he's going to spend the next 3 or 4 years in court with the city of Miami.
I gotcha.
And like if that guy ever wanted to buy another baseball team, basically everybody in baseball would be like, oh God, no, no, no. like any city that this guy would try to buy a team would be like, oh no, oh no, 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 no.
Yeah. Well. That's just the difference in, I guess, opinion. I don't think that the rebuild in Miami is that big. It's a tough division to win in when you've got the Nationals.
I think it's a terrible idea. And then they're really trying.
Hell yeah.
That'll be a sign that they're trying to win.
Hell yeah.
If they sign Sessions, put him in the major leagues, then they're really trying.
Well, I want to pitch in the major leagues for the Padres. I think that what we're doing is we're going to – I think honestly. No, but seriously, I think
your owners
what,
are. I mean, yeah, the Padres are kind of famous front office, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I think what we're doing, we're definitely trying to turn stuff around. The signing of Hosmer helps. That's a good clubhouse guy plus a good player. Period. I think we're going to attract some people. I mean, who doesn't want to play in freaking San Diego? But
have you noticed anything in San Diego where like the city enjoying the Padres more now that it's a one sport town basically?
Yeah, I mean we obviously been the most loyal, but you got young players coming up. You have a young all star in Will Myers, and now you have a guy that you just signed for the next 8 years. That's an all star, a World Series champion. That brings attention. I mean, we're talking about guys that are young guys coming up that are still trying to find their way, that got their feet wet last year, that are, you know, going to be, in my opinion, I think a lot of these kids are going to end up being pretty good. And then you start attracting some guys, maybe some veterans, and then you might can get a good signing. And then all of a sudden, now you're the Arizona Diamondbacks and make a wild card. And then the next year, you don't know what happens. And you don't know what happens when you make a wild card. You've had champions come out of that wild card before. So I think we're trending in the right direction. I think we've made some really good moves. I think we've made some good signings. I mean, you know, just out of the bullpen, re-signing Craig Stammen was a good move for us. Like, that's a veteran bullpen guy that literally takes the ball whenever you tell him to. That's a huge thing to players coming up, is like following the lead of that guy in the bullpen. So you got a veteran guy in the pen. You know, we've got you know, young arms in our starting rotation, but you got veteran guys on the field you can follow. You know, you're one veteran slash very, you know, a guy still at his prime or right in the middle of his prime sign away at the starting rotation to being a team where young guys can latch on, follow, and become like an Ash-type team or Cubs back then. I mean, you know, Chris Bryant was Chris Bryant. Yeah, he was great, like, coming up all the way through. There's plenty of players in the Padres organization that have been great in the minor leagues that didn't have the Anthony Rizzos, the Davises, the, you know, the older guys on that team to latch on to in San Diego. You know, now we kind of have that. So I think that you get younger guys to latch on to, guys like Hunter Renfro, guys like, you know, Margot, guys like Frenchy Cordero, you know, Cordoba shortstop. You know, we got young catchers like Hedges. I mean, Hedges is like in his like low to mid-20s. I forget how old he is. He's young, and he's a great catcher. We've got the pieces. Now they've got guys to latch on to and become pros.
Well, I'm excited for the Padres, but there's something in the news recently. We've got to talk about it while we got you. It's a little bit of a shift. We're going to shift gears, go to the NFL draft. Who you think should be the guy? Who should be the quarterback taken? Who do you really think should be the first quarterback off that board?
Well, I mean, so let's just start with who does everybody think it's?
Well, morons think it's going to be Josh Allen.
What do you think?
Definitely should not be Josh Allen. I mean, to me, it's the my mind's just gone blank. It's the UCLA kid, Josh Rosen.
And they've got him going like 11th Miami, which would be a great fit for him. Gets to go in warm weather, not a lot of expectation. Even if you go to Cleveland, there's expectations because it's like, hey, is this the guy finally that's going to turn it around? I heard somebody say this, and I respect the guy because, you know, he's worked with some guys. He's not been a great head coach, but he's worked with guys that have been great pros before he was a head coach. And I've heard two people say it. And one was a head coach and was a pretty successful head coach. Just had some bad management. I would say honestly, Baker Mayfield should be the number one pick.
I worry about his arm strength.
I do that too. But I heard two people say the same thing. Two that were respected in the NFL. Maybe not in college, one of them. Two that were respected. One, they got to have the attitude. Baker Mayfield 100% has the attitude. Two, they got to be accurate. Baker Mayfield was the most accurate quarterback in college football last year.
Right. I mean, if NFL teams start copying Eagles did, I have much better feelings about Baker Mayfield.
The run-pass option.
Yeah, and just using more, like, intermingling more spread concepts, spread to pass concept into what you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just run pass options, but just thinking more, mixing more college, like looking at what the Chiefs and the Eagles. The Chiefs had a great offense, quarterbacks Alex, you know, for big chunks of the year before Pat Mahomes took over.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you can win with like a, you know, a young quarterback is barely wet behind the ears. Or like Alex Smith, who, I mean, God bless him. You know, Alex Smith is like the replacement level quarterback. You know, if you don't have a quarterback, do you want Alex Smith? Yes.
Yeah.
If Alex Smith is your quarterback, are you super, super excited? Not really.
Yeah, I mean, how bad is Washington? But anyways, I honestly
but like,
think
I, but
if
like,
you're looking for, you know, the intangible type, the best prospect, 100% is Josh Rose. If you want the best prospect, if you want the guy that, like, if he ends up being the guy that has the attitude, the guy that can be smart, the guy almost like what's his name for the Rams? What's the guy's name? The quarterback for the Rams.
I knew it before you said anything.
Why can't I think of his name? Because he was pretty good this year.
He's the cowboy.
Yeah, whatever his name.
We're in a Google contest.
Yeah, why the heck can I not think of his name? I had one too many drinks.
This is a Jared Goff. This
Jared
is what
Goff.
Happens when you start drinking.
Josh Rosen could be like a Jared Goff type guy. I mean, if you get a Jared Goff type guy, then you made the right pick, in my opinion. I know Jared Goff's only had one good year, but he's got the right system around him, and I think he'll have multiple good years. I don't know if he'll ever be
and like his
Brady
and
or
his
Rodgers.
And his rookie year was with Jeff Fisher, which doesn't count because Jeff Fisher could ruin like Tom Brady.
Yeah, so
like
let's just say that last year was his rookie year, and he's got a lot to build upon. Like that's good news. So. Josh Rosen, I see kind of like a prospect like that. Maybe he could be better. Who knows? I mean, you never want to look at a guy and be like, oh, you know, he's the next Rodgers or he's the next Brady. I know that's what they always want to look at, but you mean those guys don't grow on trees. We know that. But I'm talking about the guy that I look at, and that's the guy I want to hear calling me a play, is Baker Mayfield, because he does have the attitude. He's incredibly accurate. And he doesn't back down from anything. He doesn't look like he like runs away from any challenge. Like, I mean, he's right. Answered every question anybody wants to ask him. You know, he's been reprimanded for some of his attitude stuff, but at the same time, that's a growing process for him. That's a build upon process. It's about, you know, holding some of that emotion in, but I'd rather have a little bit of an emotion quarterback than a guy that's just like, oh, you know, we didn't play well, or I didn't do this well, or whatever. It gives me the generic type of answer. Like, there's only one guy I'm going to accept the generic type of answer from, and that's Brady, because that's what he's done his whole career. And two,
he's a robot.
And he's produced from it.
Robot.
But I like the guys like Aaron Rodgers that laugh at some of the questions or answer some of the questions. It's just like, that's the kind of guy I want to go to, like, battle with. It's like, hey, man, the guy doesn't back down from anybody. I don't care how big or how small or how, you know, what his arm accuracy, I mean, his arm strength is. It's like, that guy will literally, like, figuratively, take a bullet for his team.
The thing that's craziest to me, the two guys who seem to be at the top of everyone's big board are, to me, the two worst quarterbacks in the draft.
Allen and...
Like Darnold and Allen. I mean, Darnold, maybe. Like, I'm not like, totally, like, there's no way Darnold... But to me, Darnold has, like, major. They're, like, I mean, he's got to go to, like, an absolutely perfect quarterback environment where they can, like, basically reteach him how to play quarterback, because he's mentally not there.
I tend to like Darnold's gunslinger mode a little bit, but I don't like it enough to...
I agree with you.
I mean,
on that.
He's, to me, he's a project. He's like Ryan Mallett out of college, where it's like,
yeah,
I think the Allen thing there, is but all you're gonna have size. To figure. Josh Allen will never make.
I think Allen's all about size.
Yeah, and if anyone
it's the size and the arm strength that makes you just go, wow.
He will never be a successful.
Ryan Mallett reincarnated.
Few years
down the road
who's the guy everybody makes who played for the Tigers, LSU?
Oh, Jamarcus
Who Russell. He's Jamarcus Russell.
I don't think he's that bad.
He's worse than Jamarcus Russell was in college, like significant. He's a big dude who's a pretty decent athlete to be that big, with a crazy big arm, who cannot hit the broadside of the ball. Like, Josh Allen completed like 55%
of his
screen
passes. It's the same thing in baseball, man. It's the same thing. They see the big, strong arm, like, hey, we can teach accuracy. No,
You cannot teach a completely inaccurate quarterback to be NFL accurate. It's never happened. Nobody's shown me one example of being able to take a guy with zero accuracy and make him NFL.
I've heard the argument Cam Newton, but I do not agree with
that.
He
wasn't.
Because Cam Newton was not that inaccurate. He just ran a completely different offense.
Yeah, Cam Newton was basically running a wishbone out of the shotgun in college. Josh Allen is running something that should be, like, translatable to the pros. He just can't hit it.
Yeah, Cam Newton.
The guy can't hit a screen pass.
You saw Cam Newton in that Saints game, how accurate Cam Newton can be. Is he inconsistent? Sure. But how
And a lot of that has to do with being a running quarterback.
Like, be honest. Like, how good did he play in that? They didn't lose that game because of Cam Newton. They lost that game because they decided, hey, we've been torched by this team twice, running-wise. We're not doing it again. They got torched by a really good quarterback that still remembered how to throw.
The guy in this draft who I'm predicting is going to end up having the best career is probably going to be Lamar, though, because, like, they're not going to draft him very high. So he's going to get that, like, Russell Wilson draft where, like, he gets drafted in, like, the second or third round by a team that's already pretty good. And then he ends up having a monster career.
I think that's pretty spot on. If the draft goes like people say it's going to go, which I don't think it is, because I think me and you both agree that the number one pick probably, if you want no flaws, you want the prospect, you want the pretty boy or whatever, not pretty boy, I don't mean to say it that way, but you want the guy that's not going to bring attention to himself but is going to put the work in, it should be Josh Rosen. If everyone else sees that, he'll be the first pick. He'll have a shitty, shitty place to go to. But if it's not him and it goes the way everybody's that he's it's going to, I think Josh Rosen ends up having the best career, because he's going to end up going to a place that has some pieces that can protect him and that can get him in the right spots.
I'm just going to laugh when, like, the Patriots draft him and then he ends up, like, following Brady or Lamar Jackson. Because, like,
that guy played in like a pretty complicated offense. Like the thing that everybody like people are acting like he ran Cam Newton's offense in college. He's running Bobby Petrino's offense.
Yeah, I mean, Petrino's
put a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL just based on their brain because like they were able to handle his system.
Yeah, no, like, I'm a big advocate for Lamar Jackson. I think he. I don't like him being a wide receiver.
I don't is like straight up retarded. Yeah,
I don't like the comparison to Cam Newton. He's not big enough to do what Cam does. And I don't like the comparison to Michael Vick because he's bigger than Michael Vick. I like the comparison to Deshaun Watson. He just might need a little bit of growing before he ends up being Deshaun Watson.
I mean, I thought he was a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson in college. So
yeah, but Deshaun, I mean, I think the sky's Deshaun the came limit in the NFL and didn't skip a beat.
I don't think he will either. I think he's going
to.
No,
no, I agree with you. I'm just saying on the comment to Deshaun. It's just like Deshaun had that question mark. Is it like, was it really him? I know he was an incredible competitor, and he showed up in big games. Like that's definitely something you can always look at, is that, you know, he was always accurate in big games. He was always the guy that, you know, put the ball where it had to be and did what the team needed him to do in big games. And it was always the question, like, was he doing things that he wasn't going to be able to do in the NFL? And then we saw it in the NFL before he got hurt on a fluke thing that, all right, he didn't skip a beat. Like, I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson will skip. I'm just saying that I compare those two to each other. I think we're saying the same thing, is that if he's going to be anybody, if you want to compare him to anybody, I would say let's compare him to Deshaun before we ever start comparing him to Vic or to Cam Newton, because he's not big enough to do what Cam does. And I think he's a better QB in the huddle and at the line of scrimmage, smarter-wise, not saying like Mike Vick wasn't smart. He was just
Michael Vick, like if you go back and watch Michael Tech, their offense was bone. Like their offense was basic run, bootleg. Bootleg Michael Vick out on the edge, give him like one guy to throw to or he takes off and runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just wasn't asked to do a hole in college. Whereas like, you know, Jackson was given like multiple progression reads, spread the field, you know, pro style, have a bunch of options.
When do we look at it as right where guy. Jackson maybe didn't have the talent around him? Maybe he wasn't.
I mean, yeah, clearly.
And maybe like the maybe thing about, he wasn't protected enough. When everybody's like, all about, he does is yeah. run. Well, he was running for
his
life.
Yeah, his offensive line was terrible. Like, his offensive line was really terrible.
What happens when you give that time to
awful.
Give that guy time? Because he's got arm strength. We know that.
Yes.
It's like, what and happens just, like, when you give that guy like, time to get the right progression, get the right yeah. read? I think part he of the ends issue, up being like a John Watson, like comes in the league and sets it on fire because they're like, wait, we weren't expecting this. Or like a Russell Wilson, like you were saying, gets to go to a team that like maybe
has
doesn't
their shit
have,
to get, like has a
their
good
shit
team
together, is, but maybe yeah. not the greatest quarterback. Like a, I don't know, a Cincinnati.
Like, yeah. Cincinnati, that's a perfect one. He'll go play for Cincinnati and he'll be awesome. We just nailed it.
Like, they have their shit together. It's even in like the Louisville quarterback or a great head.
And it's even right there at Louisville. So, like, all the Louisville fans will, like, be filling the stands. Okay, we've done it. We booked it. Cincinnati, there we go.
Yeah, he may not win the job his first year, like, and he may not be the spark that Deshaun was, but if he goes to Cincinnati, he ends up winning that job.
All right. One last thing, and this we'll make this. Who you want to be the next Panthers?
I don't care. Not P. Diddy.
Well, it's the leading names are the guy I picked, by the way.
Yeah.
Felix Savatas.
Yeah, the guy you told me about. Yeah.
And then Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta are apparently very injured.
The whole thing is I just want whoever to come in is to buy in to what has been started there and grow Cam. Just literally. You have, like we talked about earlier, you've got a star. You literally have a star sitting right there, and you've got him for the next 5 years. Grow him. He was an MVP. He got you to a Super Bowl, whether it was off the back of the defense or whatever you want to call it. I can't say it was completely off the back of a defense.
It was the defense, and he was the entire offense.
Exactly. So you don't want an MVP running off the back of a defense to a Super Bowl. That's my whole thing. If anybody wants to say, oh, yeah, you know, he went to the Super Bowl because of their defense. He won the MVP that year. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl off the back of his defense, did not come close to winning MVP. All right, you don't talk. We have an MVP-caliber quarterback. Guy can win more MVP, much more MVP. Grow the offense around your star like everyone else does. They grow that offense around Brady. What does Brady do well? Let's get him those kind of guys. What does Rodgers do well? Let's try and get him those kind of guys. What does Andrew Luck do well? Let's not do anything Andrew Luck does well and just make sure he doesn't play all year so we can fire everybody.
That seems to be the direction Panthers are going.
Exactly. Like, that's what I don't want to be.
North Turner and his entire...
That made me so mad, bringing North... But...
Well, with that... Yeah.
I'll give him a chance. We won't go down that rabbit. Give him a chance. Whoever comes in next, I don't need it to be a sideshow. That's the only reason... I don't care, you know, what race P. Diddy is or what you know, where he was born, how he was raised or anything like that. Yes, there needs to be more black ownership in the NFL. I 100% agree with that. 100% agree. But not him, because it'll be a sideshow. It will be a sideshow.
Yeah.
I don't
It'll
wanna...
be like another way to like...
Exactly. So I don't want that. I need a business.
I just want an... I mean, obviously, I'm not a Panthers. And this is somebody who's been a Cowboy for so many years. So it's like, okay, this is speaking from like the experience of how miserable this has been. I don't really want to know who the owner is, if that's okay.
Yeah, like, that's fine with me. 100% fine with me. Like, I don't want to know who, like, I know, you know, the three owners in the NFL. I know three owners in the, four. Does Davis's son own the?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know four owners
so
in the
Al
NFL.
Davis
Al Davis's
son, like, bowl cut.
Because of Al
the
Davis.
Bowl cut.
Yeah. I know Jerry Jones because it's Jerry Jones. I know the Houston Astros owner because he said Houston Texans owner because he said you can't let the inmates run the asylum. And then I know the Panthers owner because they were, you know, the Panthers owner. And then Bob Kraft, of course.
And then Dan Snyder. So, like, more than half of these are just, like, they're the fucking scum of the earth, and you only know their name because they're constantly sticking their dick in like a garage.
Yeah, I don't want to know my. I don't really want to know my like in headlines. Maybe I know him because I'm a fan, but I don't want to know his name. I think P. Diddy's a great businessman, but it's all been because of the show. I don't want the Panthers to be a show other than the Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly show. That's what the show needs to be about. When I go to a game, I want to see Luke Kuechly on defense wrecking havoc. And then I want to see Cam Newton tearing defenses apart going, how do we stop this? That's what I want to see. And that's what I want my next ownership is build around those two players because you have a franchise right there in two players. You have two players that franchises would kill for, two stars that franchises would kill for. And we, in the last 7 years, can't build around them but 1 year. And that was a favorable schedule. That's the reason they went 15-1 is because they didn't play anybody. They got Seattle on a bad year. The Cardinals were the second best team in the NFC that year, and they were awful. You know, the Packers were hurt all year, so we didn't have to run into Aaron Rodgers. The game we got Aaron Rodgers was at home, and he had nobody to throw to but a pack of gum. So it's like that's the year that we have to build off of. I want my owner. I know they've already hired the GM. So I want the owner and the GM to get on the same page. This is where we're going to spend our money. This is how we're going to do it. Get some assets on the offensive side and get somebody to help Luke Kuechly so he's not covering everyone's ass at all times. That's all I want. It's like, you should have never let Josh Norman leave. So you did. Get some defensive backs. Get some pass rushers. Convince Julius Peppers to get his ass back on the field. And get somebody... They started in the right direction with getting Christian McCaffrey. Let's get some more, guys. Like,
and with that, it's been a great bullpen, Seth. Always great having you on the show. We're going to get you back on. So then the last time, like, we went like 7 months or something crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, I had rehab and everything else. It was tough. So I'll be back.
Yes, sir. And take it away, Zach.
Hey, we're back. Wow. I got emotional. Tears. That was beautiful. I would argue Grammy worthy, that edition. I don't know where I'm going with this, Dan. I was hoping you'd chime in there.
Look, we've already given the people like one episode this week. This is just a pure phone it in.
This is a phone it in. This is probably people will probably like this episode better because we don't pretend to know about sports and we just talk about stuff we do know, and that's bad TV. Speaking of bad TV, Dan, I didn't think the All-Star game was very bad this year. I know we were kind of recording. I don't know if you got a chance to watch. I kind of went back and watched stuff. That second half was pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like most All-Star games. People just sort of fuck around for like the first half or so. And then, you know, I mean, that pride kicks in that fourth quarter where it's like, I don't want to lose this thing. Yeah, I want
to
win.
I was like, I'm going to lose to Steph Curry in the finals. I can't lose twice. Ridiculous.
You know, and it just becomes like, let's win this damn thing.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why the Basketball Hall of Fame, or the Basketball Hall of Fame, the reason why the Basketball All-Star Game is the best is because basketball is the only sport that you can play at like 50% and it still not be shitty.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you try to play football at like half speed, it's not football.
It's just crap. I think the hockey All-Star Game tends to work because like hockey people are just stupid. Like, they'll go all out. But, like, with baseball and football, it's like, if you go all out, you're probably going to hurt yourself. If you're, like, pitcher.
Yeah, baseball's been ruined by pitchers. Because it's like, oh, my God. Anytime a pitcher throws a ball, you risk his arm will just come flying off and land in the third row.
But you do kind of do risk that weird situation where, like, maybe a guy is just not in his kind of routine or whatever. Does one thing weird and his whole shoulder's messed up, screws over. I mean, look what Pete Rose, you know, did with the collision. Ruined a guy's career in an exhibition game. And then with football, it's just, I don't know why they should just do, like, I love the skills challenge they do. That should just be the Pro Bowl. Should just be, like, dodgeball.
No, yeah, the Pro Bowl should literally just be, let's play dodgeball against each other. And then let's
play a pickup game. Let's do another. I think that would be more fun for the All-Star game. Like, what if for the Pro Bowl, they played, like, a basketball game. And what for the baseball game, they just they played, like, touch football.
Well, they can't. They're never going to do that because the one year they tried that, Robert Edwards, you know, famously, I think it was, like, the 1999 Pro Bowl. They had,
touch football. They had, like, sand.
They played beach flag football. And Robert Edwards tore both of his ACLs, I think, if I remember correctly.
Which is the dumbest, because, the beach is the worst place to play touch football. The beach is not a good environment for knees or feet or anything.
What you got against the beach?
I love the beach. I just don't know if sports besides, like, volleyball or, like, beach golf are really accessible. Like, if you can't
beach
play
golf.
The game, or four squares is the ultimate beach. But, like, if you can't play the game with, like, a drink in your hand, then why are you playing on the beach?
How do you play volleyball with one hand?
If I can't have my fat gut out, cigarette in my mouth, PBR in my left hand, and hitting the ball with the right, then why am I at the beach?
You left out the sunglasses.
You got to wear the shades. With the croquis, too.
Sure. I mean, you got money. You got letting everybody know it.
Yeah. But I think the NHL, does anyone watch that?
Nobody watches any hockey, ever.
Yeah. Oh, even apparently in the Olympics. So if you saw it, the men's hockey ratings are way down, like 10-20%.
Well, I mean, they did not have NHL players.
I didn't think that would hurt that much because no one watches the NHL.
But it's just like, imagine, you take away like the one reason anybody would watch it, and then it's just like, oh boy.
Yeah, because I think like with a lot of Americans, like, well, we don't stand a chance because like all the Russians are in the Russian league or whatever. Because I'm assuming like the pro Russian league's just as good as the NHL at this point now or something.
I doubt that, there's no way a Russian hockey league can afford to pay their best players what an NHL.
Well, not with those billionaires, but those ratings are way down. The Olympic ratings are like down slightly, but apparently streaming's way up. So I don't know if I don't think the Olympics are in trouble. Story's going to work that well this time around.
Well, if there's anything we've learned today, given that Vox Media laid off like a bajillion people today, it's
never
that,
unionized.
Well, it's not just I didn't take it to be that as much.
Well, I thought it was because they pivoted to video and it failed, and they just couldn't own up and fire the people.
Yeah, it's like you everybody keeps waiting for like online video to make everybody a ton of money, and nobody has figured out how to make money off online video without a
sponsor. No, except a couple of sports leagues.
Unless somebody directly pays you. Like, here is what I will pay you. Give me your video watch.
What, like, Twitch is where, like, I think for, like, younger or like, people, like, more apt or who've been using the internet longer, I would assume. Just like from an early age, like Twitch works pretty well. Pro gaming,
but it doesn't make money. It doesn't really make money because there's no way to monetize it.
Well, Twitch does because they have like you pay subs and all that. And there's like advertising. Well,
but the advertising does not make anybody any money.
Yeah, it's throwing the extra money because like I mean, someone's got to be making money for Twitch.
Like passive advertisements on the internet just don't make anybody any money. Like the advertisements that work are like advertisements on things like podcasts, like this.
Well,
where people like the people who are telling them, you know, who are like, hey, this is a good product.
Let's try this. Or, well, yeah. You can always know they're lying. I never buy anyone. Have you met
Stop
anyone?
Stop saying that. No one will pay us.
But, like, but maybe Blue Apron should send us some stuff so we can try and do the Blue Apron challenge. Change my mind, Blue Apron. Come on. But I think Twitch, though, has that natural advertising thing where it's like, oh, I see a video game I want to play. Like, that's...
Sure.
That is advertising, like it or not, you know? It's kind of built into what it is. And, yeah. Like, e-gaming seems to be doing pretty well. I don't know if anyone's making money, but
yeah, one of the things that came with the Vox thing is that everybody was promised all this ad revenue that was going to come from videos, and it's like, the videos that play on Facebook, nobody watches the damn things. They're all autoplay vids. Nobody sees them.
No, unless it's like I said, unless it's like YouTube or Snapchat, no one's really game to watch videos.
But nobody's even watching YouTube ads. Like, nobody, like, literally, there's, none of this shit is making anybody any money.
No, at all.
Unless
Dan,
you're paying to see the video.
I actually have YouTube Red, so I never see ads. I think a lot of people would gladly do that. Because, like, actually, you get YouTube Red, it bundles in with Google Play Music, so you get...
Why would I want to buy YouTube Red when I can just download Adblock?
Well, on your phone.
Yeah, there's an Adblock browser.
I'd use the app on my phone, that's ridiculous. No one's all that.
There's an Adblock browser, like, instead of using Chrome or whatever.
But, like, my thing is, like, I get Google Play Music, that's just Spotify. It is literally just Spotify without some, like, stupid feature. Like, and I get no ads. And the beauty of this is, with YouTube Red, you can play videos in the background. So you can use YouTube as your primary music source. It's like, I think most people, too, would mind plunking down $6 a month or whatever to just not even see the ads. That's probably, like, the real future of kind of video. It's premium. And I think Patreon's shown, like, people will pay for shit. They don't care. When it's $5 to $6,
there's definitely money. Like, that is the only way, though, to really make money off of internet content, though, is to, like, charge people a subscription.
Yeah, and, like, if you don't make it ridiculous, you know, if you're not charging $14.99 for a
this
video...
This is probably not a conversation we should be having on air. We're probably screwing over everybody else on this
No,
website.
That's what I'd like to screw over. I want to screw over one website first. Just like, who would pay $14.99 to watch, like, an obese man bitch about 20-year-old wrestling and then, like, some 50-year-old man-child do that as well? Because I know another website that's doing something like that their time.
$18.99.
Is it? I thought it was $14.
I think that was the special. It's like $18.99
for that.
Yeah, for that. But it's better than
the other day that Chico posted where he's like, "Oh, website's doing better than ever." And I'm like, "No way, I just don't."
Yeah, he said that because he literally was responding to something I said on his message
board. Oh, really?
Yeah, he got mad at me for saying something on his message board.
What?
But a particular person has left that website, and it's like, well, there's just one other person who was here before the merger who's now gone. I guess this is, like, the last remnants of this website before it got bought out.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, the website kind of sucks. I mean, and, like, the main draw, like, has been exposed as, like, a bigot and kind of a misogynist.
Like, just a creepy old dude who doesn't know anything anymore.
And, like, you can get this... And the other thing is, too, like, the scoops are on Twitter right after he posts that newsletter. Like, there's no reason to pay for that shit.
He barely has scoops.
Yeah, they're usually...
Like, you got... At this point, it's like a 50-50 shot that thing's gonna be, like,
does
even
remotely
true.
Does anyone have scoops
true.
Anymore? Like, it's just all on Twitter.
Above, if you seek Casey.
Yeah, what's to do with that? I thought that was a chick for the longest time.
No, he's a gay feller, but he's, okay, like, really big into, like, women's wrestling.
Yeah, I was hoping he was gay.
Yeah, he got married, actually. He got married, like, a year or so ago.
Okay, because I was like, I pray to God that man is not a straight man obsessed with women's wrestling.
Well, yeah, I think that's a big reason why he's been able to get sources, is because these women are so used to, like, dudes hitting them up on Twitter, like perving
like
on them.
A certain Edward
in a Texas, yeah. Like, they're just so used to, like,
Ted,
a certain...
We'll call him Ted in Texas.
Yeah. Texas Ted, if you will. Yeah, they're all used to, like, a certain creep. And then, like, a guy who's completely uninterested.
Yeah, instead you just get, like, a gay guy who's just like, I just love your outfits. Like,
your outfits look fabulous.
Yeah. Or, like, the girls look great. Like, don't show them to me. I just think they look good. You know? Like, it's just... I think my favorite weird rumor thing was about what the two NXT girls getting the boob job and the odd controversy that created online.
It's like,
fun.
What are you talking about? They're perfect just the way they are. It's like, well, I mean, they still got one. Like,
yeah. Let's see, Dan. Kind of before we get out of here, we are reaching our point here. Anything else to the table? I'll bring up something.
Hit me.
Okay. I want to switch to, because we are in WrestleMania, is wrestling scene, like it or not. I really like Raw doing like a
show. Who's not liking it? Who's liking it or, like, when you say like it or not, who's the one not liking it?
Not you. I don't know, somebody, I'm sure. But, like, I thought that Raw this past Monday would have, like, or whatever, yesterday, or whatever day it is now.
That's how out of it we are. That's how delirious we are from doing two shows in 1 week. We don't know what day it is.
But Dan, I like the 2-hour match. I thought that was a pretty cool thing that you don't see a lot.
I like how they did that match just so that the Chris Benoit match is now wiped out of history as the longest match on Raw.
By like an hour.
Yeah. Like, it's like no, but like, it,
no,
it's
I'm
not
saying,
even
I
close.
Believe you mean an Iron Man match involving Triple H.
Sure.
But
just
like
that,
idea.
Just like that WrestleMania main event of Triple H versus Shawn Michaels.
I love the concept. Like, I saw these people on Twitter, like, bitch, like, why am I supposed to care about this? It's like, you watch the show every week. Like, why are you supposed to care? What? Why do you watch the show every week then if you're not supposed to care about a match? Like, you need your handheld through every, like, what the fuck? And, like, I know, like, you're watching, I'm talking to one person I saw on Twitter who did this, but, like, I know you're watching for your little podcast, but if you're so tired of it where you can't even enjoy, like, a fun 2-hour weird thing on Raw, then what the fuck are you even doing?
I love
stop
when, like,
watching if you're this miserable. Stop. You know what? WWE programming sucks. It's awful, but sometimes it's fun. You don't have to watch it every goddamn week.
My
fuck.
Favorite thing is when people bitch about how repetitive Raw is and how repetitive WWE is. And they're absolutely right. I don't watch the shit.
Yeah.
One of the happiest days of my life is when my wrestling podcast stopped, you know, stopped, before we stopped doing shows altogether.
Well, before Clive sold out.
Yeah, before we even stopped doing shows altogether, we stopped covering, like, current event wrestling. And we started being like more, hey, we're going to talk about, like, a single week of
but
WWF,
you know,
in, like, 1988.
Is, you can talk about current, you can just watch the highlights on YouTube and you know exactly what they're doing.
Well, by the end, that's exactly what I was doing because I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, and you know, but there's no reason, like, with that Raw Monday, I watched that match and I watched the Jeff Jarrett tribute. I said, you know what, not going to get any better than this. And I turned it off and apparently got really shitty after that. Good. I didn't watch it. There's no reason to watch it.
I mean, especially with WWE, if you get like 2 hours of a 3-hour TV show that are good, tap out. It's not gonna get better after that.
No.
Like, you just got as good as it's gonna get.
Yeah. And I just don't get these people that watch it every week, and then it's just like they keep complaining. It's like, well, you know, it sucks. It's like what did, like, our boy Dave Crumbly say on Twitter? It's like entertainment for retards. Like, that's what wrestling is. Like, stop pretending it's some amazing art form. No, it's not. It's stupid, and that's okay. It's stupid and fun. Stop trying to make it into art. It's not. Well, maybe it is art, but it's not.
But that now there you just hit on one of my favorite things that I love to yell about. And it involves wrestling. It involves other things too, but wrestling is where it comes up the most. Is when everyone wants to call everything art, which to me just sounds like people wanting to, like, have an excuse to do shit poorly.
Well, no,
so then they call it art.
Like, I get it, because, like,
it's not art.
Is art by definition, whatever. But, like, it doesn't mean that all art's good. Some art's just, like, some art's just.
But it's not
stupid.
Art. Like, it's just not art. Wrestling
family,
is not art.
Is family circus art? The comic strips count as art in wrestling. That's how I look at it.
Well, see, like, to me,
you know what these people are who, like, review Raw every week and get mad? They're like some weird. I'm sure there's a podcast that does this. Where, like, they review, like, Beetle Bailey every week, and they're like, these jokes are tired. Like, of course!
He's been writing this for 40 years!
Like, it's a comic strip. It's supposed to be stupid. You're not supposed to overanalyze it. You're supposed to read it and then move the fuck on.
Can we talk about how Peanuts is terrible and always has been?
No. Did you see the thing that, like, Caleb Horton shared from Peanuts, like, 2 weeks ago?
No.
Where it's, like, Snoopy's cousin, like, the one with the mustache, talks about, like, how he accidentally killed somebody once, so he just hides in the desert so he doesn't hurt anybody ever again.
Jesus.
Like, when Charles Schwartz, like, let it out before, like, especially in, like, 60s, 70s kind of Peanuts, it was really good. Like, there's one thing, like, where, what's, like, the lesbian, Marcy or whatever?
Sure.
You know, the, not, I won't say dyke, but, like, the athletic, the jock girl.
She's a tomboy, would be the term of the day.
Okay, the tomboy. Talks about how fun the game was, and, like, did all this and this. And then, like, the little, like, her little girlfriend or whatever goes, sir, the game's been over for an hour. And it's just, like, where you stand there and think about how fun your life was, even though... And it's just, like, sometimes he can hit it and, like, cut to your core. I'll send you the one that I saw that Caleb Horton
did. It's not funny, though. It's really just depressing.
That's fine. I mean, listen, when you get Family Circus and Garfield, sometimes you need to be a little more...
Yeah, Garfield's never made anybody laugh, ever.
No, I refuse to believe Garfield.
Except that one time where Johnny dogs him and loved it until they told him
that canon?
Was. That's, I mean, that's a comic strip. He drank semen at a vet. It was a sperm sample, and then he was loving it. He thought it was milk.
But best really, if you're like shuffling through the paper, you're looking for a good comic strip. That's why you listen to us.
Rex
not
Hunter.
In there anymore, but Foxtrot, Pearls Before Swine.
Because
And really, the only good ones ever were like Calvin and Hobbes, and who's that? Ben Garrison's the best.
I'm just a real big fan of those like shitty comic book things that are like turned into like a 5-panel strip. Like nobody has ever enjoyed
like
newspaper
Spider-Man. Yes, and it's like nothing. I used to read those, and be like, "What's gonna happen?" And like nothing. I'm like a big. That's why like used to like Comics Curmudgeon was my favorite site ever because he did that but, like. Did it with some irony involved, like knowing this.
Also, one of the last guys to write for Wonkette before it became the worst site on the internet.
There you go. So I think he still does that too. So he interacted with me on Twitter once. Pretty fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, he did write for Wonkette, so
I don't know.
Things aren't going well.
Still not
for
sure what Wonkette.
It was formerly the Gawker political blog during, like, 2003, 2004.
That's, like, before my...
And then it spun off as an independent site. They sold... Alex Perrine, who now is the editor of Splinter News, he was... it was originally Anna Marie Cox, who has an MSNBC show now. Then she left, and Gawker replaced her with Alex Perrine. Then they sold the site off to a guy by the name of Ken Lane. And Ken Lane was actually pretty good when he ran it. And then he...
That was the guy from the Bill Clinton trial.
No, he's a guy with a he was a guy with a beard who.
That was the guy from the Midnight Express.
Definitely. He lost his mind and like moved into the desert and sold the website to some weirdo rich lady who wrote for an alt weekly in Orange County who now
so became like
her
a
name
weird
is,
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, name. Her name is Rebecca Schoenkampf, and she's I think she's mentally retarded. Like, I think she's got a brain problem. And I think it was somebody from the Outline wrote, like, this huge takedown of, like, current-day Wonkette. And it was like, this is a website written for people who have mentally never moved past, like, 2005. And, like, their whole life is stuck in 2005.
Yeah, like, that was, like, they hit, like, 40, and they just stopped growing.
And it's like... I you know, Wonkette used to have, like, blingies, because that was a thing in the internet in, like, the aughts. Like, everybody used to ironically make blingies, because, like, teenage girls did it, and then people picked up on it and started,
like,
well, this
the,
is my
like
ironic
thing.
Blingy.
You'd see, like, on MySpace, where it's, like, the letters blink or something?
Yeah, and it would be, like, a picture, and, like, you put, like, a background behind it that would be blinking, and then they'd have, like, a, you know, smoking a fat dude, and, like...
I don't know about all this, like, pre, like, social media, internet stuff, because, like, I was a poster, always poster, 100%, that's what I am, Dan. So I was on the boards, where I was.
Well, these things, a lot of these things would show up as, like, signatures on message boards.
Okay, so. Yeah, because I wasn't, like, reading the elite blogs like you, Dan, I was down the trenches with them.
Sure, and yeah. So,
I just didn't pick the Something Awful forums where I could, like, have a podcast and...
Yeah, if only you had picked that one instead, you'd be famous now.
Yeah, instead I was like, IGN, video, like, no.
Instead we were on the fucking Wrestling Observer, we were on the fucking Figure Four Weekly board.
I will
board.
Say, though, the guys from the IGN wrestling boards, I think they have a podcast that's decently successful, like Rocket Buster Radio or something.
Like, the wrestling message boards for, like, the fucking SmackDown games were hardcore, man.
Oh, that's like the ones, like, we made fun of, because we were, like, the... Wrestling proper forums. So, like, the SmackDown people were, like, the idiots, and we were the smart We were the smart retards. They were the dumb ones.
Yeah, because we paid for this. So yeah. We had a higher class of weirdo.
And we appreciated work rate.
Yeah, Laura Sampson, work rate. That was...
We might need to just do, like, a message board breakdown one. Maybe it'll be, like, episode 100, Dan. We'll just have everyone on, and we'll just talk about, like, what shitty message board they
use. I mean, does anyone even use message boards anymore?
Us. I still do. Twitter is just a message board.
Yes, that's the big success of Twitter, is that they basically took every aughts message board and then jammed them all together with each other with no mods.
Yeah, and it was fun for a little bit, and then like all the normies found it, but like me. But I'd like to see message boards come. I think they're gonna come back, Dan. But at some point, message boards will be.
I'm not so sure that's true, but we'll go with it.
I think they're coming. Like they'll come back. Maybe in like 1,000 years when society's like, well, we'll see message boards. But I don't think chat rooms. Well, I guess chat rooms came back with Twitch and streaming and shit. So.
Yeah.
Don't you wish like the Dirty Network had like a live chat next to like each other that you had to like look at while you're watching like WrestleMania?
And it's, I like, would of, rather like, oh basically like every N-word
for like 3 hours.
Like basically like every shitty illegal stream site that makes you
it's
like look at that terrible chat kids. Going on to the next.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of Indian kids calling each other the Indian.
That's all the internet is at some point. It's just a bunch of people from India calling each other racial slurs they don't really understand.
Yeah, but they hear it hip-hop.
So. They've just been told not to say it on the phone when they're working at the call center.
Oh, by the way, Dan, breaking news, Auburn will win the Basketball Iron Bowl.
Well, congratulations. I hope you get all the medal.
Charles Barkley, a team I have never cared about, Auburn men's basketball. I'm a big fan.
Go roll those trees with
Charles Barkley.
Toilet paper.
Well, actually, this game's pretty sweet, though, because I think like that's when they do the trophy for the Iron Bowl.
Hmm.
Lots of fun.
Well,
that's when like the football teams get it at the men's basketball site. But I think that's it for me. We covered a lot. We did a really good. This is a good improv.
Sure. We gave you everything we had, and then we had to scrape the bottom of the barrel.
There's no sports news. Sorry, guys. It's winter. But, you know, maybe you like this more than we usually do. Let us know. We'll just talk about TV.
Like and subscribe.
Subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe again.
Sure.
That's what part of my take.
Well, on that note.
Oh, by the way, fuck the Queen. Fuck Australia. Who's our third fuck you? Fuck the Russian athletes for still cheating at curling.
You're not a real man.
Yeah, he's doping, but he was a curler. So fuck all that.
Well, with those fuck yous given out, I reiterate, fuck the Queen and play the music, Jason.